Henry Hitchcock. This is Ontario Today. Do you have to be black to rap, native to sculpt a totem pole? What are you really doing if you get a tattoo of a Hindu god or a Chinese character? If you take on someone else's culture, are you honoring it or stealing it? The work of two artists in Ottawa has ignited this kind of debate. The women have painted scenes from Native residential schools, but the women are not Aboriginal themselves. Coming up, we're going to hear from one of the artists. She has put a lot of thought into how she has made her paintings. We're also going to hear from an Aboriginal photographer, and he can tell us how he negotiates this touchy area in the world of art. We also want to hear from you and explore where you draw the line. How far can you go appropriating someone else's culture? Whether you're a painter or an admirer, a musician, or love loading up your iPod, maybe you're an actor. Do you think about yourself to play a role, your authenticity, before you step onto a stage? And what about if it is your culture on display? Are the sopranos an insult or a form of flattery? Does the character Ali G make you laugh or make you furious? We know this can go in many directions, and we'd love to see where you will take us in this hour of Ontario Today. Artists, whether they use a pen, a paintbrush, or an electric guitar, explore our humanity in their work. And if you want to write down people's stories, the old saying goes, write what you know. Now, on the flip side of this, should an artist always stick to the material that they have experienced in their own lives? Many do delve into a world they aren't familiar with in order to discover new things and test preconceptions. Sarah Hatton has done that with her paintings. Her work is inspired by photographs of First Nations children at residential schools. Now, she and another Ottawa artist with a similar subject matter are being criticized for, you could say, stealing other people's stories. Now, in a few moments, we'll open up the phone lines and ask you some of your reflections on this, whether you believe that can you create art based on someone else's experience. I'll give out the telephone number, although you can hold off if you want to hear some of this conversation, too. We'll probably get to the phones in about 20 minutes, but I'm going to give out the number. It is 1-888-1-7-8-9-9-5. And to start out this discussion, let's hear from the Ottawa artist, Sarah Hatton. I had a chance to sit down with her just a few hours ago and talk about her art. Sarah Hatton is in our studio. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into some of the complexities of this issue, I'd really like you just to describe your paintings and the subject matter for the audience.
The recreation paintings at this stage are still studies, so they're very loose, quite small, and they show children playing either hockey or having just finished a track and field event, and they're painted in a very sketchy style that doesn't quite show all of the details, in a predominant color that's a reddish-brown, which is Indian red.
And what's the significance of that?
I chose that color very specifically because I always like to include elements in my painting that reflect my own position as the artist, my own cultural background in this case. And I've had this cube of my studio for years, and I've never used it out of principle because I can't really reconcile the fact that it's this stereotypical name on a tube of paint.
Really? So the name bothered you?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I hadn't used it out of principle, but in this case, I just, maybe this is time to pull out that tube of paint and use the message that is inherent in that paint alone as a symbol to reflect my side of the story.
What's your inspiration or motivation for going to this culture, the residential school experience as your subject?
It was less about the cultural experience as it was that I'm very image-driven. And when I've been researching another project that wasn't related to this, I came across these images from the archives of children in residential schools playing hockey. And they took me aback, and they created a real conflict within me because there were these happy images in a situation I know is not that. And there was this contradiction apparent, and I thought, that's a really interesting place to start my research.
So was actually looking at these photographs.
Yeah.
Do you have any other connections to people who were at residential schools?
Well, once I'd decided that that was the right angle for me to take to even look at this subject, because I wasn't considering it before, I started making connections specifically with survivors that I could consult with.
Why was that important to you?
It's always been important to me to approach my work with very thorough research and to find an angle that that is appropriate for me as the artist to take. So I don't just take source material, reproduce it, and say, there you go. What I wanted to do was find extra insight, and in this case, approach it with the sensitivity I knew the subject really deserved. So to hear the stories from the source, to me, helped me choose what kinds of things I ended up including in the paintings and what kind of things I decided to leave out.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. In the hockey images specifically, you'll see the figures in the foreground leaning towards what would have been the camera at the time. In the background, there's this repeated motif of short brush strokes in the red, and those are the bricks from the sides of the buildings that were very popular in the Western architecture. And I think that having talked to some survivors, these bricks are a very poignant reminder. They place the painting instantly as the mission school. They were all constructed this way. So finding that out was really useful to me to know how to convey, without being too specific and too graphic, what the real situation these boys, otherwise playing hockey, were in.
What did you delete? What had you had in your head that after you talking to people, you thought, I'm not going to do this?
Once I talked to people, I knew that I was going to pull back on the detail that I included. So everything is very general. You can't make out specific features. It's more, I don't want to say universal, but the people in there could be anybody. And I think that was much appreciated by the people who saw the paintings.
In the sense that it wasn't a realistic depiction of who you were seeing in the photograph?
More of an impression, yes.
Yeah. What if some of these people, I mean, they don't speak for everyone, obviously, but they gave you some insight. What if they told you, look, it's not your experience. Don't even go there. Don't do this. What would you have done?
I would have stopped the series. That's the point of why I did the consultation in the first place. I approached them, and I don't usually do this with all of my series, but in this case, I really felt it was important to talk to the people and see, am I getting my point across? Am I making it clear that I'm not trying to tell anybody's stories, that I'm reacting to this from my own cultural perspective, and that I'm going at this in a reasoned way, in an intelligent way? And so the reactions I got were all positive. It was very clear to them that I was not trying to use this experience for my own gain.
So let's turn it around for an instant, too. So when you talk about the structure and the research, there's an element of that feels so controlled. When one thinks of art, they think of this sort of flow from the heart, from your gut, just emotional response to something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you limited yourself too much as an artist?
I don't think so. I think what I've done is I've just been very cautious. I've worked on subjects like this before. Nothing that's proved to be this contentious. However, I have in the past thought about what it is that I'm putting out there. You always have to do that as an artist. You have to self-edit. You have to question your motives. And in this case, it's a little different.
In what sense? It's true. I want to understand sort of if it was, let's say, something that was 200 years from now and there were no survivors to talk to.
It's absolutely that. I think that in the past I've worked on subjects that have had a distance of a generation or two in between, and this isn't the case, and I think that it's a misconception that the residential school experience is some generations ago. It's not. I've talked to people who were a little older than myself who've been through it, and that's why it's so important to know that what you're conveying is appropriate.
How much of it also has to do that it is it's a sad story in so many ways, a painful story? If you were celebrating something really joyful in the Aboriginal experience, would you feel the same way? Would you have gone through the same steps?
I'm not sure that would have attracted me, because I wouldn't really have any position on that. I wouldn't know how to convey that. In this case, I found a way into a subject that I've had a history of talking about in the first place, which is children in situations beyond their control that are trying to find ways to still be children amidst terrible situations. So I don't think that subject would have crossed my path in the first place.
Will you sell these paintings at a commercial gallery?
No.
Tell us about that.
Well, early on in the consultation process, I realized that, and this is true with other series as well, even the venue you choose to display your work in says something about your actual body of work. It's part of the process. And I think that to display the recreation series in a commercial gallery would defeat the purpose. I think that what I need to do is find a venue that's more public, that will put the emphasis on explaining the motivation behind it first. And I think that tends to get lost at commercial venues.
What kind of responses have you received to this?
I've received a variety, and I must say all positive so far. What surprises me is that...
positive from...
From both sides, if you want to call them sides.
Well,
from
non-aboriginal
From the survivors, which is, I think, the most encouraging for me personally, keep going. Keep exploring this. It's building bridges. It's allowing the topic to be discussed in a way that's more wide than
they're not telling you you've stolen our pain somehow, or this is not your experience. Stay away from it.
No, quite the opposite. They've not pain when talking about my work in the feedback I've received because of the fact that I chose images that did not depict pain. They depicted a moment of rest, a moment of happiness between children. That was, I think, the reason why I chose them. It was a place to start. I think had I gone for images that were more graphic in nature or upsetting to see, then it would be harder to explain why I was using them.
You talked about your other experiences and how it informed your approach here. Have you learned something in this experience, something that maybe you would change the next time around?
I learned something in every series that I approach that information to make my decisions in the next one. And in this one, I've learned how important it is to consult when you're touching a subject as sensitive as this. I think that it really is the key in understanding how you want to present your work as an artist.
We'll be opening up the telephone lines and asking people what their thoughts are, and even in some way how they relate to the kind of art perhaps they create. And I wonder your own reflections on how far this could go in terms of music, in terms of this question of cultural appropriation.
I think it's limitless. From the debate that I've been involved in since this article, it really does touch every group in some way or another. The debate that I'd be interested in seeing is not so much are these our stories, but it's style. In music, the examples that you see of one culture using another's style.
Like white rappers or something.
Exactly, but it's not necessarily stories. Stories seem to be okay to talk about. The Rolling Stones, for example, have written a song about brown sugar, and that's about the treatment of slaves by their white owners. And nobody seems to notice that. However, if you use a different group's style of transmitting that message, then suddenly it's on the radar. So I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah, well, we're anxious to see where our conversation goes, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who might be taking on roles as actors on stage or on film, what kind of process do they go through? Might it be similar to yours?
Yeah. I hope you have more than one call-in show.
Well, we have this hour devoted to it. Sarah Hatton, we do appreciate your time for coming in.
Thank you.
That is Ottawa artist Sarah Hatton, and she is creating paintings based on photographs from First Nations children at residential schools. She actually had dropped by our studio a little bit earlier on. Now, as we mentioned,